Life's not like Flan, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful stone man. He'll tell you what to do.
Here we go.
If your life's tattooed,
just don't know if it's loud enough.
He will make you. Fuck you.
Hey everybody. Well, I'm taking a little drive today, so I thought, why not do a podcast for everyone for this week while I'm taking a drive? And I had an idea of what to talk about, inspired by the fact that, last week, you may remember we had a debate over, not a debate so much as a questionnaire, maybe. Should Pete get a new bed, a grown-up bed, for an adult? Or should he get an Xbox 360? And the results were in. I tallied the votes, and it came out strongly in favor of Xbox 360. Because I do what I say, I'm an honorable man here. I don't want anyone to think that I'm just doing things just to have content for this show. I bought an Xbox 360. It's Tuesday, I think. So I would have bought the Xbox 360 exactly 1 week ago. So I started playing it last Tuesday or Wednesday. I started playing a game called Gears of War. Gears of War is fun as shit. Fun to where it was the end of the week, and I was like, I'd better get Gears of War 2 before the weekend, because God forbid I run out of game. You know, and I was a little afraid it would happen. And sure enough, I ran out of game probably on Friday, and was very glad to have Gears of War 2 come Saturday. Saturday, I played Gears of War 2. Maybe Friday a little too. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Beat Gears of War 2 as well. So it's been less than a week, and I've finished 2 games so far. This is not a testament to my gaming ability at all. I mean, I'm not, like, great at video games. I've been pretty shitty. I mean, you'll hear more about my history here. But it's a testament to how much time I've fucking spent playing goddamn Gears of War. Here's the thing. I was playing Super Nintendo games on a hacked Wii to playing Xbox 360 Gears of War, which is, like, incredible. You know, so I was doing things where basically the way you used to kill people in old games seemed to uniformly, we all decided, you know what, the best way to kill something is to jump on its head. Which, to be fair, if someone full jumped up in the air and came straight down on my head, I might die. I think I'd be incapacitated to where I'd be done fighting, that's for goddamn sure. If I got in a bar fight and someone got on the upper floor and jumped and landed with both feet straight on my head, I think I'd be done fighting for the day. That would be the end of that fight for me. I've never seen this move perform. I would like to see. Someone should do, like, one of those, you know, they do these fun, like, science geek articles, and they should do one that's about what would happen if you just came straight down on a head, or what would happen, you know, show a guy just crunching a turtle, be like, ooh, that will definitely kill a large turtle, or hurt him. I don't know, one of those Galapagos turtles, that seems proportionate, so if someone jumped on that as hard as they could, would it die, would it go in the shell, and then you could kick the shell across the room and kill another turtle? I don't know. But Gears of War is like, I mean, I assume all Xbox games are this way. I'm just like completely gobsmacked by the whole thing. Because you can do things that seem impossible. You know, you shoot. I mean, you're basically shooting monsters. I'm not going to get into the story because I kind of think that if you tell the stories behind video games, they're usually kind of ridiculous and don't really make sense. But, you're shooting monsters. You're running around shooting monsters, you know, in a desperate race for the human race to survive the race for survival. I don't know. But you can do things, for example, like, you know, you can shoot a guy, a bad guy, and then he's injured, and then you can walk over to him and, like, pick him up and use him as a human shield. Which is so far beyond jumping on someone's head. Now, see, I don't do that kind of shit. I'm not into that. Like, if a guy's crawling around on the ground, I'm not going to fucking pick him up and use him as a shield. I'm just going to shoot him. Because, you know what? Getting fancy gets you killed. I've been Peter. But it's just so advanced. And it started out, I mean, my first gaming that I really remember was a game for the computer called Thexter. Which is like Dexter with a Thex on the beginning instead of a Dex. It's a really dumb name. Dexter is a robot who I assume is... He's a transformer. I just assume in their office if you were like... So he transforms, they're like... No, he changes shape, changes form. He does not transform, okay? We don't want to violate a copyright even though he's a robot who turns into a jet. I think it was. Also, I mean, there are basically three things that Thexter could take, three forms. Walking around robot, a jet that could fly around, and explosion. Every fucking thing made Thexter explode. Everything. He was so explosive, it was like he was designed to explode, I think. Like, a scientist would have to take something. You couldn't make a car explode like that without... purposely putting in sensors and everything, so it's like, if you touch a wall, you explode, and if a guy touches you, you explode, and all that. And that was always a problem in old video games, too, like, you know, going back to Mario, right? It's like this Goomba, it's this little walking mushroom, and if it touches you, you die. It has no arms, it doesn't seem to have any fighting ability whatsoever, it has eyes that look angry, and you just die immediately. I never thought that was right. You should get to, I don't know. I feel like I could beat up a Goomba if that's a real thing. If it just flattens, I mean, I think I could take it. So, Thexter, though, would just explode. I mean, he couldn't, you were fighting other machines, I guess you'd call them, robotic shit along the way. And anything that hit you, you know, boom, you explode. It seemed like an impossible game. This was a game my dad got for the computer. And this is when any game was basically, the premise was, you're a thing and here's what you're supposed to do. Go from one place to another place, and then, you know, you might have to fight things along the way. And that was the premise of every game. Also, when you turned into a jet, you were even more explosive. And also, I remember being a kid playing it, and when you turned, I didn't want to turn into the jet, because I don't think you can shoot when you're the jet, and also... it was way too fucking fast. I was like, Thexter, you're indoors. You can't fly Mach 10 when you're inside of a fucking building. That's insane. Use a little moderation, if you would, please, sir. Because otherwise, we're going to be screwed. There are other, you know, computer games. My dad spent all night downloading a trial version of a little game called Doom. It's what you call a first-person shooter, for those not acquainted. That means the view when you're playing the game, the screen, it looks like you're looking out through the eye holes of the character you are. So you might see, like, his hands or something like that. And, you know, it was like hell on Earth, and you were trying to stop hell from being on Earth or whatever. Which I know not because of playing the game, but because I read a novelization of the game when I was young that explained a lot to me. Maybe you've also seen the motion picture Doom starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, which is pretty terrible. But I guess it would give you background, I don't know, 20 years after you fucking played Doom. The thing about Doom was, you know, you would get... The main idea was to shoot guys, but you're also in sort of a labyrinth. So you'd have to find a red key, and that opened the red door, and usually somewhere in the area behind the red door was a blue key... which opened a blue door, behind which was a yellow key, which would open up a switch, which was how you exited the level. So, every time I played, because you could set how difficult it was, too, you know, and it had cute stuff, like the easy version was, I'm too young to die, and then there were less bad guys, and the things they did hurt you less. And when I was a kid, I always thought, like, man, I got this system figured out. Like, if you go into options, you can make it easier. You know, because... when I was a kid, I had no qualms about cheating and that kind of thing. I thought, hey, man, if this is cheating, how come it works then? Shouldn't they make the game so it doesn't work? You know, I thought I'd figured out the secret. We had an Atari, too, and we had countless arguments because you could select the difficulty on that, too. And it usually went beginner, intermediate, advanced. And we had countless arguments over whether intermediate was easier or harder than beginner. Because it sounded harder, but it seemed easier sometimes. It was hard to say. It was intermediate to say, more intermediate than easy. So I would set Doom on the easiest level. So what that meant is, basically, I was playing a game where you used arrow keys to walk around a dungeon with no, you know, just looking for stuff, collecting things. It would be kind of like if today I went to the art museum and someone hid three objects there, and I could just walk around, you know, trying to open the doors and going in the bathrooms and stuff like that, but really nothing happening of excitement. It will be like that if first I had to, like, shoot a demon to get inside, and then maybe a guy who's got, you know, who's a brain that's on spider legs. That was part of what was awesome about Doom, is it was, you would see the creatures and be thinking, like, who the fuck came up with this? I mean, it's like a demon with horns and a robot leg and a rocket launcher for an arm. I mean, it was fucking nuts. The things they did, and Gears of War lives to that legacy as well. Like, I don't understand. Some about video games, and maybe this happens in sci-fi or fantasy a little more, is they'll take a fantastical creature, like a gigantic creature that seems unstoppable and unbeat-upable, and then they're like, you know what else we should do? Why not throw a fucking rocket launcher on this thing? Which I don't understand, because I don't. If you just threw a rocket launcher on a horse, let's say, you're like, horses are pretty good. They're mobile. They could run around. Let's put horses in the army and attach a machine gun on each side. And then somehow the horse controls the machine gun. I don't think a horse understands. I don't think it would know how to do that. I don't know that you could teach a horse to fire a machine gun and kill people, especially to kill only a certain kind of people. And maybe ride the fucking horse and then you shoot the machine guns mounted on the horse. I mean, maybe that's the problem. Maybe we just haven't taken it far enough, you know? Maybe I could be riding a rhino with lasers shooting off of it, you know what I mean? And just killing left and right. I guess there was never a need. I mean, we invented the tank, right? And that's probably better than a rhino. Because if I fall off of a tank and stop driving it, it's not going to use the opportunity to gore me with the turret or something. It's just going to sit there. Whereas a rhino, I would assume a rhino would not approve of me shooting guns off of it all day and making it carry around guns. Although it would be a good tactic, like, if we had another Vietnam type of war, you know, where we're going into a jungle and shit. I think if you were a Vietnamese dude and you saw these people going through the jungle, and one of them was just atop a rhino on a saddle, and there were huge guns mounted on the rhino, they might think twice. They might think, these people are fucking insane. I don't understand their ways. You know, we're all humans here, but I thought things would be more alike than they are. I don't know if this is going to work out. Maybe we should cancel this war. They've changed. They're mounting guns on horses and rhinos and fucking, you know, scopes on a giraffe because he can see over the top of shit. I mean, they've gone fucking nuts. Anyway, so I would play Doom on the easiest level, though, and it just meant you were walking around. Whereas my dad would play it on the hardest level, and the hardest level was ridiculously hard. Like, everything killed you immediately. There were so many bad guys, you couldn't possibly win. You were underarmed. And then the other thing is they would do a thing called respawn. So what it means is every time you kill the guy, another guy just got up and stood in his place. So I don't know how you were supposed to get through this game other than just run through the game. I mean, I don't think you were really supposed to get through it, maybe. So we played a lot of Doom. I also, that was my first girlfriend experience was around the Doom/Doom 2 era. And what I would do is we would talk on the phone. Well, and I would be playing Doom, and she would be telling me about something her dog did. you know, and I'd be like, oh, that's cool, you know, and I, every once in a while, she'd be like, it doesn't seem like you want to talk, and I was like, no, I totally want to talk, but the reality was, I want credit for talking, but I really just want to play Doom, you know, and a couple times, you would turn the sound off, but I would turn the music off and forget to turn off the sound effects. Or it was hard, because sometimes you needed the sound effects to know if there was a bad guy. But then she would hear me launch a rocket and question how involved I was in this telephone process. And it wasn't... The good thing about today is you're on your cell phone. You know, if I walked... If a girlfriend heard a sound like that, I'd be like, oh, my roommate's playing Nintendo. I just walked into the living room. What a crazy guy, huh? Playing Nintendo instead of talking on the phone with his girlfriend. What is he thinking? There was also... This was kind of the era of arcades. And arcades were fun, but expensive. It was weird, because I think I was the perfect age for arcades at their peak. You know, I was probably in elementary school, and so I was very interested in these games, and the idea of playing a game for 3 minutes and then switching to another similar game where the guy is named, you know, Craig instead of Jack, and he does kicks instead of punches, you're like, oh, this is fucking a whole new world of gaming. So I would switch over. So that was very appealing to me at that age. But the funny thing is, you don't have any fucking money. So you had to pay every time you wanted to play, but you didn't have the money. And the games I played in the arcade were either about shooting things or just beating up guys. I didn't really like the head-to-head fighting where it was you against one guy. And when that stuff got big, I mean, when we're talking like Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Pit Fighter, all that shit, is kind of when I fell out of love with arcades. Because what would happen is I would step up to Mortal Kombat. I don't know how to play Mortal Kombat. You know, I'm like, listen, this is my first fucking time playing Mortal Kombat. And then you would play and you'd maybe beat a computer guy just by chance. And then somebody else in the arcade would step up and put in a quarter and challenge you and beat the holy living shit out of me. I mean, absolutely fucking annihilate me in seconds. And then it's fucked up because... It would be like if I was playing Final Fight, where you just walk along and beat up bad guys, and then somebody came along, put in a quarter, and just punched me out instead of the bad guys, and then, you know, I had to leave. I was done. I mean, it's kind of, it's basically like taking your quarter away. You know what I mean? They sort of owed me a quarter. They should have paid me back, because if they're going to just beat the shit out of me and then I leave and they're like, oh, that wasn't very challenging, and I'm like, yeah, no fucking shit. Those games should have had like a light on them, like at a grocery store, where I could turn on my light if I was accepting challengers, you know, like at the checkout aisle. But if I wasn't accepting challenges, which I never was, then it just stays dark. And the guys too, some of them were okay, but some of them I think were real assholes. You know, when I was younger, they were older. The thing about the arcade that was probably not so good, I mean, it was fine for me, but it was a real mix of kids who were 5 up to, you know, 30. Which is not, it's never a great idea, I think, to have a 5-year-old facing off on the same game where he can barely reach the buttons as a guy who's 19. That, I don't know what good situation that's going to result in, but it's going to result in, you know, the screen displaying a 19-year-old ripping a 5-year-old's spine out, and then, you know, he's also taken his quarter. Some of the guys, too, when they would challenge you, like, the way to challenge someone was you put your quarter up. There's kind of a little ledge between the screen and the buttons and stuff, and you would put your quarter up on that ledge as your way of saying, like, you're next, buddy. I got the next game right here. I'm taking the winner or whatever, you know. So when that happened, I didn't like arcades as much. And it was always a dream. You know, a lot of people would have a stand-up... Not a lot. I knew one kid who had a stand-up Galaga machine in his basement, which seemed like the most extravagant, wealthy, I mean, MTV Cribs-esque thing that you could do when I was a kid, was have an arcade machine. And I always thought, like, I would be so fucking good at Galaga if I had the Galaga machine. And then, you know, being older now, I'm like, I'm sure if you have that at your house, you play it a lot more than you would have. but I probably would play it once every 3 weeks, you know what I mean? And then be like, oh yeah, this is boring, and, you know, I sacrifice always to try and get the double ship action, and I don't really play it right. So then, like, home console gaming, like Nintendo and stuff, that was where I really started to enjoy things. I mean, the regular Nintendo, I didn't really enjoy that much. I mean, I did. I played it a fuckload, and it was the most important thing in my life, but it was too hard, or I was too shitty. I should probably be more specific. Like, I was not good at games. You know, we'd have Mega Man. I could beat one guy. I could beat one bad guy on Mega Man out of four, you know, and not even, I don't even get to see the levels because I can't beat them. Or we had some shitty games, too, as part of the problem. We had Ghostbusters, which was completely, a thing that happens when you're a kid is I watch the movie Ghostbusters, and I'm like, Ghostbusters is awesome. So then I get the toys of Ghostbusters, because those were actually awesome too. But, you know, I'm like, oh, this is a thing that's related to Ghostbusters? I'll take it, you know. Or, like, this shirt has Ghostbusters on it, so that is what I will wear all the time. But then you don't know how to make a distinction of, like, okay, just because you don't know when you're a kid that in order to license a Ghostbusters game, it's not like, you know, fucking Peter Venkman sitting in the boardroom saying, like, this game's not very accurate to what we're doing, and also it's fucking boring. It's just a bunch of guys in suits who are like, can we sell this to kids for way too much? Yes? Okay. Ghostbusters game it is. Fucking throw a Ghostbusters logo on some shit game and let's go. The Ghostbusters game was horrible, because all you did was you would be in this weird city, that, and you were piloting the Ghostbusters logo around the buildings. You know, it's like a top view. It's like a map of a city from the top. And you were driving the Ghostbusters logo around. And then you'd see a building flash. And you would go next to that. You would drive this thing over. I mean, I don't. And the Ghostbusters logo, too. It wasn't just a ghost. It was a ghost with the red circle and a slash through it. So it was like, if you played a game and the main character was like, no smoking symbol. And that was just who you drove that. It floated around and you just stopped people from smoking. So, like, you would get to a building and then you would hit the button. And then you had to drive to the building. You had to drive the Ghostbuster mobile, Ecto-1, which was, seems like it would be cool, because that was one of the cool parts of the movie, you know, when you have the siren going. But for some reason, you had to drive forever. I don't know why you were so fucking far away, and you're on these highways, and every car is trying to stop you from getting to where you're going. And the way they do that is they, every time you hit somebody, it costs you money. Okay, so you would, like, nudge someone on the highway, and then it would say $100, and you were like, fuck. You know, 300, 400, and it would just add up and add up. Because you had to buy gas, you had to buy ghost-busting equipment, you had to buy all this stuff. So really, it was just, like, all about economics and balancing the economics of being a Ghostbuster. It was like you were Janine back at the Ghostbuster fighting house, where she's just balancing the budget and doing the books and shit and, you know, trying to be in love with fucking, you know, the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids guy. What was that guy's name? Mortimer or some shit like that? The Keymaster guy? Rick Moranis? So, that game blew. We had a game called Section Z, which I bought. Here's the other thing. You didn't have the internet. There was no TV shows about games. You could get Nintendo Power, but I'm sure Nintendo Power just got money to say, like, this game is fucking great, you know, and this game blows. I mean, do you think they ever gave a Mario game a low rating? I doubt it. So I got a game based on cover art alone called Section Z, which was impossible. I mean, you were just flying, and you could shoot backwards or forwards. It was basically like a horizontal Galaga instead of traveling vertically through space. And it was hard as shit, and I couldn't beat any of it. But I had to play it over and over because I, you know, convinced my dad. I begged him, you know. I was like, no, no, this game is awesome. I'm telling you. I played it at a friend's house. It is so fucking good. And then I played it for 2 minutes and was like, this game is fucking bullshit, but I have to keep playing it because otherwise he's going to know that I didn't know anything about this game and that I didn't want it, you know, and he just spent all this money and I'll never play this again. And I would play it every couple days. Not couple days, every couple weeks I'd play it for 2 minutes just to be like, maybe my skills have come along enough that now I can advance. And no. I mean, I had poor timing and hand-eye coordination and all that kind of shit. There's a game that if you've never played it on the NES, the original Nintendo, that you should play. It's called Life Force. And that's a game, you're just a jet and you fly around and shoot things, but it's fucking fun. And there are weird aliens and stuff. There was also, speaking of, you know, my dad was real into that era of gaming, up to the Super Nintendo. Because, like, he was into a game where you could jump on and play for 2 minutes and then be done. That seemed to satisfy him, you know? So he would play Contra with us, which is where you just run along and shoot things. But there's this weird effect on the two-player game. So if you can imagine you're looking at the screen, and you're running along the screen, and there's pits and spikes and shit you have to jump over as you go. You know, and it seems that the story of Contra, as far as I can tell, is there is an alien invasion, and the plan to repel this invasion is to drop two shirtless men with do-rags in the middle of nowhere, and then they will just take care of everything. So actually, it's pretty much the same thing as Gears of War from the get-go. But when you're playing, you can imagine the TV screen. That's how much screen you have to work with as you're running along. And so the first player might get way ahead of the second player and be at the far right edge of the screen, whereas the second player would be at the far left edge of the screen. So what you could do is if the first player was jumping over a pit, but the left player was holding the screen and keeping it from advancing because you could only be one screen's width, the first player would jump to go over a pit, but the other side of the pit wasn't visible, and therefore he would just fall into the pit. And we did this to my dad constantly. And I don't think it was on purpose. I think it was because he just wanted to run through the game and kick ass, which is kind of how you played the game. But we were more like, no, man. You got to do this right. You got to jump the right time and shoot at the right time. And so, you know, he would constantly be like, stop holding me back, as he was falling into a pit, just flipping into it. And then he'd be like, okay, this time, stop doing that, you know, and then he would fall into a pit. But there was another level where you were climbing. So that one, if you were out in front, you could advance the screen, and it would basically, the screen would catch up with the second player and kill them. So you could also, you know, I'd play with a brother, and I would just go as fast as I fucking could with no concern for my own life, just to kill him. Because you couldn't shoot each other, but you could still commit, you know, fratricide if you really wanted to. I did also play a recent arcade game on the Wii that I wanted to talk about, which is Michael Jackson's Moonwalker. So, if you're young, if you're young, you shouldn't be listening to this, but a lot of people seem to have forgotten because they're like, why does Michael Jackson get all this leeway and shit? But Michael Jackson was kind of like the biggest fucking star ever. I mean, he could do no wrong and blah, blah, blah. So, of course, you know, he had his own video game. Why the fuck not? And it had nothing to do with singing or being at concerts or anything. You were dressed like Michael Jackson, you know, with the fedora and shit, and the short pants with the bunched up socks, kind of like an 80s aerobic lady, and you would be walking around this environment just fighting thugs and freeing children who are taken, you know, who are kidnapped. So you just punch them, and then your special, you could hit a button and do sort of a special move, which was everything would kind of go dark, but you could still see all the guys and stuff, and you would start dancing, and the bad guys would be compelled to dance just like Michael Jackson, and then once they were done dancing, they would die. Which is sort of accurate, because based on, you know, most of the mob guys were fairly schlubby, slovenly-looking guys. So maybe that was, you know, he would somehow force them to dance, and then that would be the end of them. They would have a heart attack and just pass out in the streets. The weirdest part, I mean, so, you know, you just walk around and do it. But the weirdest part was not that you could force people to dance against their will to their death. I mean, it's kind of a horrifying death if it was like, you will dance until you die, you know. That's even beyond Holocaust shit. But the weirdest thing was, you know, Michael Jackson had a chimp named Bubbles. And Bubbles would just show up on the screen at some point, and if you touched Bubbles, you would transform into a Michael Jackson robot who was, like, a little taller and, I guess, scarier looking and would shoot lasers instead of just, like, hitting people, you know? I don't understand the point of that, really. I mean, the whole world of it is so insane that it doesn't really matter. Because there's really nothing you can do to say, like, well, listen, Michael Jackson beating people in the streets and then forcing them to dance to their doom is fine, but a robot transformation is really not cool. But why a robot? And why is he shooting lasers? And why does it happen when he touches a chimp? That makes no fucking sense to me. Too much. It went too far. So then we got the Super Nintendo, and this is when, like, I know a lot of people who play a lot of video games, and clearly, here's the thing. Here's how to know if you're into video games. Like, if someone's into video games, they will be able to tell you about multiple times where they started playing a video game, and then suddenly, 6 hours later, were like, I was dehydrated, I was exhausted, I did nothing but play this game to my own detriment and almost had to be rushed to the hospital to be fixed up with IVs and shit because I was just into it and I didn't even... You don't know that time is passing. 6 hours of playing a video game is the fastest 6 hours of your life. That's how you know if you're into a video game. So we got the Super Nintendo, and when I say I played a lot of Super Nintendo, I'm saying, like, there were three brothers in our family. That sounds like a storybook. Once upon a time, there were three brothers. There were three brothers in the family, and we would go to my dad's house every other weekend. And I'm not kidding. We'd get there Friday. We would just play video games constantly, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, just taking turns. You know, so my older brother would play. And then eventually he would run out of lives or whatever. And then I would play. And I would just, you know, if we were playing Donkey Kong Country and you have to beat these levels. So I would watch him play, then retrace his steps, and then get no further because I didn't... The only reason I could get to where he was because I had the benefit of watching him do it. And then our little brother would play, and he was definitely a little better than I was. And we would just... rotate like that all fucking weekend. I'm not kidding. We would just play and play and play and play over and over and over. You know, so we got the Super Nintendo the day of. I mean, our dad took us to fucking KB Toys in the mall, and we were inside the mall waiting for the guy to lift the shutters on the store so we could buy the Super Nintendo. And we got the thing home, and we were hooking it up to the TV. And I was looking at all the... There are, I think, six buttons that you could use. You know, four buttons plus two up on the top of the thing. And I remember thinking, like, there's no fucking way I'm going to be able to play this. I thought Sega Genesis, you know, when it had a third button, I was like, this is going to be too much for me. And it turned out, like, none of the Sega games used three buttons. Most of them used one button, as I remember. Or Sonic the Hedgehog, which really used none. I mean, it was jump and run. You know, it was less than Mario. There was less to do in Sonic the Hedgehog than Mario. It was just faster and prettier. But, you know, I was looking at the buttons, and there was a button that said R. And I was like, holy shit, you guys. Do you think that this button resets the Nintendo from where you're sitting? You don't have to get up and reset the Nintendo? Which now every system has. I mean, if you get a PlayStation, an Xbox, or a Wii... you can turn it off from where you are. I mean, Jesus Christ, the Xbox, you push this button, it turns off the box and is like, just as a warning, it's also going to turn off the controller, which to me makes no sense because what am I going to do with the controller with the machine off? Yeah, I just like to see the light. I just like to... Actually, I probably would put it next to me on the pillow and just sleep next to it just as a little reassurance that my life is okay. Nice green glow. But, you know, and of course that wasn't the case with the Super Nintendo, but it was fine. So, you know, we played the shit out of that. Super Mario World. Underrated game for Super Nintendo that you might try. Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island. This one, you're a dinosaur, Yoshi, and you're carrying baby Mario around. And so it's pretty fun, and there's lots to do, and it's a, you know, it's a fucking good game, and it's got weird art. Like, it's kind of like, looks like it was drawn by a kid, but in a good way. But the one annoying thing is, when stuff hits you, you don't die. Mario is riding on your back, right? And when you get hit, he flies off of you and gets trapped in a bubble somehow. So he's just floating above you, crying, you know, like, and you have to get him back on you, and then everything's cool again. But, I mean, it's the most, he's crying, there's, like, alarms dinging, ding, 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 and it seems like everything bad in the world is happening at once. Be if you were at your house, and your alarm clock went off, and a computer started making all kinds of noise, and the fucking smoke alarm went off, and it's like a poltergeist kind of thing happening in the game. It's very distressing. I always find that, like, every game does this too. Like, Legend of Zelda, every Zelda does this, where if you're almost dead, it makes a constant ding 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 to remind you, like, hey, you're dying, hey, you're almost dead. Which is kind of like if you, in real life, someone was just constantly, every moment, reminding you of your mortality. You know, if there's a zipper and a guy just came out of a zipper every time you were enjoying your life and was just like, hey, don't forget you're going to die, though, and then this will mean nothing. And then zzz, went back in the zipper into, you know, Dimension X or wherever he's from. Wouldn't that be great if that happened? You're on a roller coaster and you go down the big drop and you're having that elated, like, I made it on the big drop and now this is fun. And then, zzz, hey, just so you know, you're going to be a fucking corpse and no one's going to care you rode this roller coaster. Zzz, and then he's gone. That would be better. That would be a worse guy than death himself. That guy's job would be horrible. Just reminding you. Anyway, that's what that noise was like to me always. We also played a lot of Donkey Kong Country. So in this one, you are Donkey Kong, who you remember from Donkey Kong, and you're just running around collecting. Everyone stole your bananas. You had this huge pile of bananas, which is stupid because everyone knows that a banana is good for like 4 minutes. You take a banana home and it's not ripe for 8 weeks, then it's good for 4 minutes, then it's mush. You open the peel and it just drips out onto the floor. It doesn't even hold its own form anymore. But somehow, Donkey Kong has a banana cave and you have to recover the stolen bananas from this evil crocodile man. So you jump on things' heads and you kill them. You run around. The hardest thing is you would go into barrels and then shoot out of them like a cannon. So you would push a button. But what they would do is, like, you would jump in a barrel and then it would start rotating and moving up and down, and you had to shoot yourself into another barrel that was also moving up and down. You know, so it was all just timing. So I was fucked, man. There are also a few levels where you would jump in a minecart. Like, I don't know where this started. Was it Temple of Doom, Indiana Jones, where they get in the minecart and it's like a crazy adventure ride? Because every time a game, I mean, this is like a common theme in games where you jump in a minecart and you're going along. And every time I do it, I'm fucking screwed. I can't do it. I can't make it work. Like, I can't do the jumps right. I can't duck at the right times to not get clotheslined by, you know, a fucking little miner boy with a pickaxe or whoever's in there, a dragon, I don't care. Something about that minecart is really appealing to people who make games, and I hate it. It always kills me. I'm playing Gears of War, and you're in a minecart at one point, and I was like, you gotta be fucking shitting me right now. I'm in a minecart in this game, and this far in the future, everything has changed about games, and I'm still in a part where I'm stuck in a minecart getting shot at from all sides. This is terrible. Why don't they just lay down in the minecart and everyone will just be like, oh, it's just a minecart going by. I mean, it makes sense. There's fucking minecart tracks right there. So I would think a minecart would go by every once in a while. And maybe there's no one in it. Maybe that's weird. But what's weirder, a minecart going by empty or a minecart with a gorilla wearing a fucking tie just shooting by and he can somehow jump the minecart. Which one of those is more problematic for your brain? Answer me that. Played a lot of Zelda. That was fun. Metroid, Super Metroid, which is awesome. If you like Zelda, you may also enjoy Super Metroid. I was just talking to a friend the other night, because I think that Zelda games, the first couple, kind of overrated. Everyone talks about those like they're their favorite games, and I get it. They were, for the Nintendo, the original Zelda was awesome. You know, you could save your progress, you could, it was a big game, it took a long time to finish, but you could accomplish little goals, so it kept you going. But like, if you play it today, because I played the original Zelda for the first time maybe a year ago, and it's like, all you do is walk around and just touch things at random until something moves. I mean, you have to just go up to rocks and push them from all sides, and eventually one will move. And then you go down some stairs and you're in a temple of some kind. And that's really all you do. I mean, you also fight, but the majority of the game is just pushing rocks and touching things and trying to lift things up, you know. It took me back to my Doom days where I wasn't fighting anything. And there's a lot of collecting money. I don't like Ghostbusters and Zelda, I don't really care for collecting money. Because that's real life. I mean, I can just try and collect money in real life. And, you know, there's a game you'll find in a lot of arcades called Tapper. And sometimes it's beer and sometimes it's root beer because, you know, they were like, you don't want to teach kids how to electronically pull a beer tap. And what you do is you're a bartender, and the controller was, there's a joystick and then there was a beer tap. So you would run over to the tap, pull the tap thing down and fill a beer, and then you would slide it down the bar to someone, and then they would drink it and slide the glass back, and you had to collect the glasses before they fell. So you had to keep throwing these beers down so people wouldn't get to you, because if they got to you, I guess they'd beat the shit out of you, because if, God knows, I've been to a real bar, and if I don't get served in 4 seconds, I'm going to just fucking wail on somebody. Whoever's closest, you know, this friendly bartender with a mustache. He was dressed like a pep boy or something, like a barber. He had like the little garter around his bicep, you know. It's kind of like, people at the gym kind of have those. They have like an Under Armour garter belt around their bicep, and I don't know what that is. But I guess it's the modern version of that. Maybe they're into Old West shit. I don't know. So I didn't like Tapper, though, because it was fun. And having the tap control was exclusive to that game, so it was something different. But it was like having a job. I mean, it was stressful. You would get stressed out, and you would lose. When you lost, you didn't die or explode. Or, you know, you're like, well, the human race is fucked, but I'm also dead. It was just like, eh, you lost your job. So you're going to have to find another job, which is just going to be... I mean, it was so real in that way. The world in my mind was so real that I couldn't tolerate that game. I can't do it. It freaks me the fuck out. I can be a turtle fighting people with a sword, because that's not, like, my reality at all. But working and having asshole customers is too close to a real version of life that, you know, for anyone, I would think. So then, we got the Super, what do you call it? The Nintendo 64. Now, this came at a very strange time in life. Because this is when my dad moved into an apartment because he was divorcing his second wife. Which meant that anything that you could use to distract your kids for like 8 hours a day, he was down. He bought, you know, a complete VHS thing of Pee-wee's Playhouse, and we had a Nintendo 64, and that's what we did. So when I say I played a lot of Mario Kart, I played a fuckload of Mario Kart. I think I talked about this on a previous show, so I'm not going to get too much into it. But I mean, Mario Kart, you know, 8 hours a day. It was a full-time job, was Mario Kart. And the same thing with, there was a game, GoldenEye, which was also a first-person shooter. And Jesus Christ, I mean, we played this game. We played this to the point where it would be like, you knew which characters were hard to shoot because there was one guy who was short, and so it was too hard to shoot him, so, you know, we wouldn't let anyone be that guy. and you know, you knew the levels by heart, I could look at where the other people were on the screen and immediately go to where they were and kill them. You know, and you knew that, you're like, oh, the Klob, that's the worst gun ever. It was too much. I played so much, and I think that that's, and we played another game, Duke Nukem, constantly. And I played so much video game at that time that I think that's when I burned myself out for probably 10 years on video games. Like, I couldn't play them anymore, and they weren't interesting, and I just lost every interest in video gaming. So then, you know, I did dabble. I would have my little dips in the pond. I got a Nintendo 64 at my mom's house. You know, so I played Mario and got all the stars. You know, there's like 122 stars and got them all, which is my biggest gaming accomplishment to date because it was fucking, it was hard. I spent an entire summer before my senior year of high school just playing video games that involved completing collections. You know, so Mario, you're just collecting these stars for no real purpose. I mean, they're stars, and then I don't know where he puts them. I don't know what he's doing with these stars, if he's grinding them up to create energy or something like that. Or, I don't know, eating them? Giving them to the princess so they can bang? Then I played Donkey Kong 64. And did the same thing. You collect bananas and coins and all kinds of shit. Here's what's hilarious. So the original Donkey Kong Country on the Super Nintendo, played that all the way to the end, couldn't beat the boss. And here's what happens. You fight the boss, and he's this pirate crocodile man. You fight him, you hit him like 5 times, and then he falls over like he's dead, and credits start rolling as they do at the end of a video game. Because, you know, everyone's like, oh, I wonder what Japanese people are naming their kids these days. So then the credits start rolling, but it's fake credits. It'll be like, who did the design production? And it's like, Lizard McLizard Head. And you're like, wait a second. And then he gets back up and kills you. So if you'd set down the controller, you were fucked. Because he just gets back up and rushes and kills you, which, when that happened, I was like, I'm not gonna fucking beat this guy. This is bullshit. Fuck this game. That was a purpose fuck you. So fuck you, I'm not gonna finish. Donkey Kong 64, I spent so fucking long collecting all the stuff, because you could be 4 different characters, and you had to collect all these bananas and coins with each different character. You know, so every level was basically 4 in 1. And I spent all summer listening to Ozzy Osbourne's greatest hits playing this game. And then I got to the last guy and I couldn't beat him. And so then I just sold it back to the game store because I was like, screw this. I'm not going to spend forever beating this guy. And here's the thing. It made me think the game was fundamentally flawed. Because if you can get to the end of a game and you've collected everything that's available, so I've seen every square inch of this game, you should have the skills to beat the boss, or at least sort of beat the boss. But it started with this thing that was just all about shooting out of a cannon, and it was very random chance. And I was like, this is dumb. I don't want to do random chance. I should have the skills to pay these bills. But I don't, because this game is flawed. So I returned it without beating the last guy. So then we also got, most people were not so lucky as us as to have a little thing called the Virtual Boy. The Virtual Boy was like the Game Boy, but it was supposed to be like, you're in virtual reality, man. And so what we all thought it was it looked like in the ads, it was a pair of goggles that you strapped to your head. And then you could, like, be in the car, but be in Mario World. And it's like, this is going to be fucking awesome. We get it out of the box. It's gigantic. It weighs, like, 10 pounds, and it sits on, like, a tripod on the table. So you kind of scoot up to it, and it's awkward, because it's like if you've ever, you know, you go to, like, a point of interest, and they have a little telescope thing, and you put your eyes up to it and pay a quarter, and then you can see far, you know, 25 cents, you can see much further. Which I don't know if anyone's told my eye doctor about those rates, but someone should, because that's way cheaper. And it was like that. You'd have to set it on a table and then find a chair that was just the right height and then scoot into it So then your eyes were encased in this world. Now here's the other thing that made it not very virtual. Everything was red. Bright red. So you're staring into red light all the time. And I saw... there's this movie called Cube, right? And they're all trapped in these cubes that are connected to other cubes. And each cube, there's like six different colors of cubes. And there's a red cube. And, you know, the director was saying he had read something about... He put the most intense scenes in the red cube because he had read something about how the color red is like energy and makes people, you know, can make them agitated and all that shit. And he was like, it was true. When we were shooting in the red room, we shot in there a couple days. It was horrible. You know, like everyone was getting pissed and everyone was pissy and it was terrible. So Virtual Boy was like being in a constant bright red room. And it was, I mean, it came with a warning that was like, maybe only play this about 20 minutes. Because after that, your eyes are going to hurt. You're going to get headaches. You're going to be pissed that you bought a Virtual Boy. If you're not already upset that you bought a Virtual Boy, you will be. So then I didn't game a whole lot. And then... then a game came along that, you know, brought me back into the fold. And that was a game called Metal Gear Solid. And you're just running around shooting things. But what's so funny about it is you could play the game any way you wanted, really. You could sneak around and then you don't have to fight a lot of guys. Or you could do like I did it and you're like, I'm going to kill every single person in this base. You know, and you run up to them and break their necks and stuff like that. You can hide in this cardboard box and go along the floor, and then when they come up to you, just pop out with a gun and blow them away. I mean, there's 100 things you could do. And the game maker, too, had like a great sense of humor, and he did things in the game that I've never seen before or since, really. Like, you had to have a memory card to save your games on PlayStation, right? And you have to fight this bad guy who's a psychic. And the way you beat the bad guy is, you know, the screen goes kind of blank and you hear like a boo, and you see a weird, you see the guy's name. And what you have to do is unplug your controller and plug it from the first player into the second player spot. And then the bad guy can't predict your, you know, your movements in the game and can't kill you. He's like, oh my god, I can't read your mind. But when you first encounter him, there's kind of a cutscene where he's like, well, let me see if I can read your mind. And then he sits there for a second. And then he's like, oh, I see you've been playing Castlevania. And I was like, holy fucking shit, this guy's real. Because I was playing Castlevania. You know, it's on your memory card. So he reads your memory card and then tells you you've been playing Castlevania. It blew my fucking mind and scared the living shit out of me. Because, you know, I was like, if he could tell I've been playing Castlevania, what else can he tell? If I call him a fucking asshole on a podcast 10 years later, is he coming for me? I mean, he's psychic. Maybe he's alive. Is it more unreasonable that a video game character is sentient or that someone is psychic? I don't know. Freak the fuck out. Speaking of which, there was another game at that time that I sort of liked, but it was too scary for me. It was Resident Evil 2. And it was, like, fun, but it was too scary. Like, I was too fucking scared to play the game. I sure as fuck wasn't going to play it alone at night. That's for goddamn sure, which is the prime time to play games. But it was too scary. Scarier than any movie. Scared the shit out of me. I would try. I'd play for 10 minutes and I'd be like, fuck this game. You know, because a zombie would come popping out of nowhere or a zombie dog would come crashing through the window and you'd piss yourself. And the other thing was like, this is a game where part of why it's hard is you'd have a gun, let's say, but you'd have 5 bullets, you know. So you had to save it for when you needed it. But I can't play a game that way. So, you know, the first scene, you're running to this police station, kind of running through the zombie apocalypse, running through the first episode of The Walking Dead, and there's zombies everywhere, and you really are just, you just have to run past them, because otherwise, you'll run out of bullets immediately. But I couldn't do that. I was like, no, they have to die, because otherwise, I've seen a zombie movie, okay? And if you leave a zombie outside, there's a part where you're inside a fence, and they're outside the fence, and I was like, I know how this works. In every zombie movie, it's the same thing. They're like, they're on the other side of this wobbly fence. We'll be fine. And then Cut to an hour later, some fucking bikers come and knock down the fence, and then there's 1,000 zombies in the mall where you thought you were safe. So I wanted to kill them all. I couldn't just leave them there. There's also, if you haven't played this game for PlayStation, I mean, if you haven't played Metal Gear Solid, play that, because that's my favorite. But, you know, the hidden treasure of PlayStation 1 is definitely Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Okay? And that's kind of, that got me back into it a little bit, and I played some more shit on that. And PlayStation 2, you know, I had my ins and outs, God of War. Star Wars Battlefront 2 is fucking awesome. You don't have to like Star Wars. You know, I don't give a shit about Star Wars. Especially not, you know, the times when it was like robots and fishmen and all that stuff. But Star Wars Battlefront 2 is PlayStation 2's best game. So now I'm back, though. I'm back into this game world, you know, and I'm taking it with aplomb. You know, I finished 2 fucking games in a week, and it's kind of horrifying to me. I'm like, when am I going to fit in time to do a podcast this week? I got to play 16 hours of Gears of War. I haven't even played any other games yet, just Gears of War. Panic has set in at my home. But if you have games, so if you have a game you really recommend, I'll play it. Now here's what I'm not interested in. Any game that's like a card game that I could play, like a tabletop type game. So I don't necessarily, I mean, I'm not interested in Monopoly, but what I'm saying is like Magic the Gathering, I'm not interested in that. I want a game that's a video game, not a fucking board game ported to video. Don't like that. I'm not interested in anything that's overly a role-playing game. I don't want to wait and take turns with bad guys. That's stupid. And I don't want a complicated scheme of, like, equipping different items to create different abilities with magic and shit. Like I don't want to do that. I don't want to fuck around with that all day. That's boring. I shouldn't have more items than can fit on one screen. And I should know what each item is for. I mean, each item should have a purpose, not be like, oh, the silver ring gives you plus 10 attack, but minus 10 defense. Okay, thanks. Good system. I'm not really interested in any game made by Rockstar. This is the studio that brought us Grand Theft Auto. So perhaps this is my controversial viewpoint on games. I don't like Grand Theft Auto at all. And it's not because, you know, I'm like, oh, it's so violent or whatever. It hasn't offended me in any way. I just think it kind of sucks as a game. I mean, it's fun to drive around and do that stuff for 10 minutes, but the controls when you're not in a car are so fundamentally broken. It's like hard to shoot some. Like, why can't, you know, your mission is drive up to a mansion and gun a guy down, and it's impossible because the shooting doesn't work. I mean, this is getting inside baseball here. Inside Bo Jackson baseball for the NES. But here's the thing that I don't like in a game, okay? Like, Gears of War did this, right? This is all my examples are Gears of War because that's all I've played so far. So in that game, in order to run and crouch, you push and hold the A button, and then you can run through areas. And then that's also the same button you push to get behind cover because you have to duck behind things in order to not get your head blown off. So there's a sequence in the game where you have to run through this sort of deadly rain in order, because you can be out in it for a couple seconds and be okay, but if you're in it for more than a couple seconds, you die. And so you have to run through this section of the rain to get from one piece of shelter to another, and what they do is they put a little blockade in the way. So you have to run perfectly straight through this thing, which is kind of hard to do. You have to shoot this little gap, because otherwise what will happen because of the way the controls are set up is you'll duck behind the cover, and then you're stuck there ducking, and you die. So the point is, what they did is they made the gameplay such that they knew the limitations of the controls, and therefore that's why it's difficult to get through the part, is because the control is so limited. I hate that. I hate when a control limitation, a thing that should be considered a flaw, is what's used to make the game difficult. That's bullshit. And I don't like that. And that's what every Rockstar game feels like to me. It should be easy to drive up on a porch and gun a guy down. Or one of the first missions in Vice City is like, you go to a golf course and you kill a guy with a chainsaw, you know, and he's got a golf club. And he jumps in a golf cart and drives away. And what's hard is, like, you're trying to chainsaw him, but he can just run in circles and avoid you. It's like, I heard that's how you avoid an alligator, is you run in circles, because they can run fast in a line, but if you run in a big circle, they can't, like, turn. They have a shitty turning radius or something. So that's what it's like. It's like you're an alligator trying to kill someone, and it's impossible because of your own limitations. And I hate that. It's like, I can't see the fucking guy. I've got a chainsaw, and he's just like a middle-aged guy, and I can't fucking get him? That's insane. Real life, if my job was to chainsaw a guy and he was in within 3 feet of me, I could fucking chainsaw him. Believe me. I mean, you know, moral compunctions aside, if it just physically had to be done, sure. I think it's possible. I think it's a lot easier than Rockstar makes it. So if you do have a recommendation that's a Rockstar game, I mean, I'm not playing a Grand Theft Auto, but if there's something else that you thought was really awesome and was the exception to the Rockstar rule, in which what I'm saying is the controls are really good and acceptable and suited to the game, not just like, hey, we basically have the same thing always, which is like run around and do a mission based on different shit, I'll try it. I'll give it a shot. But yeah, tell me your game recommendations. Don't try not to spoil the game for me in the recommendation, if possible. It's like those, you know, you have those logic questions, right? Like, you'll say, so there's that famous one. It's like, a man was found in a tree wearing scuba gear. What happened? And you're supposed to figure out, you know, that what happened. But the way people will ask if you've heard that one before is you're like, have you heard the one before where the guy gets dumped from the belly of a firefighting plane and then that's why he's in scuba gear because they picked him up in the water and then dumped the water on the tree? And you're like, well, regardless of whether or not I heard it, you described it to me via the answer, so it's pretty irrelevant. So what I'm saying is, if you have a game, tell me about it, but try not to describe it and sell it to me, but not in such a way that there's no point in me playing the game anymore. I felt mean and teacherly just then, and I apologize. But, you know, I want to play some... I'm excited to be in this world of gaming again. It's fun, and it's distracting me from my own life. You know, and the one problem with it, I think, is that, you know, when you start thinking, like, because so many of these games are post-apocalyptic, and part of you starts to think, like, maybe this post-apocalyptic thing, maybe there's something to it. Because, you know, I wouldn't have to go to work, and everything you did would be important. You know, it kind of imbues the world. Video games, to me, I think part of their appeal, I mean, it's just that it kills time. Because if you get real sad and think about it, everything you do in your life is just to kill time. I mean, there's nothing about life that's... The best parts of life are when you're the most distracted and not thinking about being dead. You know, like, everyone's... A lot of people would put sex in their top 10, right? And you're super distracted. You're not thinking about how you're just going to be dead for those brief minutes or whatever, you know? You don't have to go there. So video games are kind of the same way. They distract from real life so thoroughly, and they do such a good job of it that you don't have to think about how you're going to die, even though you're going to die. I hope I'm not the first to break this news to you. So, the thing, though, about video games that I think really appeals, like, and it's kind of fits into the post-apocalyptic thing, is that, like, everything you do matters. You know, there's nothing insignificant. Like, if you collect all the shit in Donkey Kong Country, well, you collected it all, and there's a goal. You finished it, and it's done. You know, or if you play a game that doesn't ever end, like Warcraft, there's still everything you do matters. You don't just turn on Warcraft and then walk around in a circle and then be like, eh, all right, well, that's 8 hours, you know. So there's rules and structure, and if you do anything, it'll have an effect on that world. I mean, the way video games are, even when you're a small character, you're kind of the god of that world. Because when you turn, you know, when you turn around, I mean, there's that philosophical question, right, of, like, is the world real, or, you know, is everything that's not in my realm of perception, everything I'm not seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, does that exist? If no one's seeing, hearing, touching, or tasting it, does it exist? Tree falling in the woods. But video games is fucking true. Because when you're not playing it, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening without you. It's all... Everything's about you, man. It's very self-centered, and it's okay. I mean, that's how it has to be. So you get that little... I don't know. It's a good outlet for getting that feeling of, like, hey, I am in control of things, and I'm the boss of something. And, the rules are the rules, you know, like... It can't... I won't turn on Donkey Kong one day, and Donkey Kong is like, guess what? I don't jump whenever you tell me. I jump every third time. No way. He just does what you say. You know what I mean? And it's not a power trip. I don't think it's about that. I think it's just that you know what you're getting into. I mean, when I go, you know, to a job, you don't really know what you're getting into. Or if you go into a relationship, you don't know what you're getting into, and you don't know what you're going to get out of it. That's the other thing. I mean... People will ask a lot, like, what do you get out of video games? It's just a waste of time. And I'm like, well, okay, but you could go on 3 dates with somebody and then you don't like them and they don't like you. What did you get out of that? I mean, you know, heartache, badness. You know, I've never gotten heartache out of a game in that way where I was like, I regret playing this because it hurt my feelings. Maybe Donkey Kong Country. Anyway, thanks for listening today. If this show was of interest to you, make sure and check out the digitally stimulated blog that's connected to the website. You can just go to helpfulsnowman.com and you'll see it there across the top. It's got a ridiculous URL. Otherwise, I would just send you straight to that. Because, you know, these sorts of matters are often discussed there, and I have a feeling that, you know, will take some more... There will be some more going on there in the near future. What with my entrance into this bigger world, this 360-degree world. HelpfulSnowman.com. Visit there. Comment on things. Share things you like on Facebook. Please. God. Just do it. And if you like this show, give us a fucking review on iTunes. I think we have 1 iTunes review. That's bullshit, you guys. Come on. Give us a 5-star review, too. Don't, if you're going to give us a 4-star review, give us a 5. Because if you've listened to this far into this show, which is just so, you know, whatever, then you like it enough to give it a 5-star review. Be honest with yourself, okay? All right. 5-star review. Give us a 5-star review. 5 stars. 5.